talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And as usual, we're going right to the front lines of history in the making as we speak. And I also want to say once again, we have a great app that you can download, Devil Radio app, Google, Apple, our website. Take Devil Radio with you, your favorite shows, 24/7, anywhere you go. A lot to talk about. Long weekend. It was a good long weekend. Let me start with the investigation by the Madison District Attorney. I should say Manhattan District Attorney in New York against Donald Trump. It has come out over the weekend that he has questioned in front of the grand jury an accountant named Jeff McConney. He was the senior vice president and the controller of the Trump Organization. Everybody up till now has been speculating about Alan Weisselberg. Alan Weisselberg was the chief financial officer, the head guy, knew where all the bodies were buried, knew what every line in every financial statement meant. So far, he seems to have been resistive. He even evicted his former daughter-in-law, who'd been married to his son. They got out in a very, very ugly divorce because she had spilled the beans to the prosecutor on Trump, turned over a lot of financial documents that she got in her divorce. And he got so angry because it set him up too, he evicted her, threw her right out of her apartment. Now, in New York, that's a big deal. This was the east side of Milwaukee or somewhere in Madison, it wouldn't matter at all. You get another apartment. You try to get another apartment in Midtown in Manhattan. Very expensive, very difficult to get. So everybody's been sitting around wringing his hands and saying, well, will Weisselberg cave? You know, what's going to happen with Weisselberg? Will he testify? Well, I'll tell you what. Another guy, second only to Alan Weisselberg, who knows the finances of the Trump Organization inside and out, Jeff McConney has testified. He has testified in front of a grand jury, questioned by the Manhattan prosecutor. Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's personal lawyer, whom Donald Trump turned on, and Cohen went to jail. Everybody seems to go to jail except Trump. Manafort went to jail. Mike Flynn was going to jail till he was pardoned. Roger Stone was pardoned. Everybody takes a bullet except Donald Trump. Well, Cohen fought back, Michael Cohen, and he testified 7 or 8 times in front of the grand jury. Now, let me tell you something. In a prosecution, it's very rare for anybody in front of the grand jury to have to testify twice. It happens, of course, but in general, that's not what happens. 2 times would be a lot. 3 times would be amazing. 4 times, unheard of. You try 7 or 8 times. They went back to Cohen every time they got other evidence, other testimony to check it out against him. He's completely compliant. And he was asked who knew the most about the finances as opposed to the legal matters of the Trump Organization. And he said there may be 3 or 4 people. And number one, of course, is the CFO, Chief Financial Officer, Alan Weisselberg. Number two, Jeff McConney. Jeff McConney knew where the money was going, knew where the money came from, knew everything about the money. Turns out that the vice president and controller of the Trump Organization, Jeff McConney, has in fact testified. I don't know how many times he's testified. That hasn't come out yet. But once he testifies once and doesn't take the Fifth Amendment, or he's given immunity, because it's very, very likely that Jeff McConney had nothing to do with any skullduggery, but he was the accountant. He was the one that the CFO delegated a lot of this to. When he's there, every line in every financial statement issued to a bank, every financial information shown to taxing authorities, everything, he would know. And so they sat there in front of that grand jury with a lot of documents. One at a time, they went over them, and they got educated. So there you have it. That particular grand jury process is going very quickly. This is only early June. Cyrus Vance, the prosecutor, elected district attorney in Manhattan, has until November as in complete control of that office. In November is the election for his successor, and his successor will take office shortly after that. There's ever the indication that Cyrus Vance is trying to get this wrapped up at least with an indictment, at least with an indictment, a criminal charge. There's no way there'll be a trial before November. That's not going to happen. But in a complex white collar crime case with an awful lot document evidence, awful lot of accounting evidence, the very complicated cases, it takes a while to develop them, a lot of time to develop them. And he looks like he is on track to get a charge probably out this fall. I think he will get a charge out this fall. You know, a lot of commentators who don't know an awful lot about criminal law will say, oh, well, yeah, they're going to present this and that grand jury is independently going to have to decide, is this enough? Well, let me tell you something. The grand jury process is a formality. There is an old statement, very true, that a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. In my 40 years of practice of law, I know of one grand jury that would not issue an indictment even though the prosecution asked for it. That involved a major company that had a lot of employees, and what they were accused of doing was arguably pretty trivial. So that's it. Remember something, the defendant doesn't get to put on a case. No exculpatory evidence is presented. The defendant doesn't even have to be told it's occurring. Defendant gets no notice when people are subpoenaed to testify. And there's a requirement of secrecy. Now you hear of secrecy, okay, well, there are leaks. Well, if there's a leak from a grand jury, that's a felony. People take this very, very seriously. So it's a one-sided deal. Prosecutor's up there. Hearsay is fine. They can put in an agent who says, I talked to somebody and I'm not even going to tell you his name. And here's what he said. They can put in an affidavit from somebody who's and says, on information and belief, I was told this. All the prosecutor has to do is be satisfied that he can prove this by a preponderance of the evidence at that stage, and then at trial beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, most prosecutors, ethical prosecutors, if they think that they can't prove it at trial beyond a reasonable doubt, are not going to bring an indictment, but they can. Some do. But good prosecutors satisfy themselves that they can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the standard at the trial itself. So here you have one-sided. The other side doesn't get to show up, doesn't have lawyers there. You know, once the prosecutor presents it to the grand jury, the other side doesn't get up and say, no, wait a minute. What about this? What about that? None of it. All the prosecutor has to do is get up and say, look, here's what the evidence says. I want you to return a verdict. You can say it in oblique language. Basically, I want you to return a verdict. Here's the deal. He did this. He did that. You remember McConney, the accountant? He said this about that. Remember Cohen, the lawyer? He said this about that. You know, I mean, one of the things that's rumored, that's alleged, is that somehow Trump would value his properties on an inflated basis to get a line of credit, go to the bank and say, my properties are worth $100 million here, this particular building. They get a line of credit. That's the security. And then the tax authorities, somehow they say it's worth $20 million. That is one of the allegations. I do not know if that's the case, but that has been a consistent allegation about one of the things they're looking at. It's not the only thing they're looking at. And the grand jury is going to sit there. Now, Trump is a famous person. There may be people in the grand jury that voted for him. They take a random sample, and grand juries sit for a long time. This one's sitting for 6 months. Some can sit for a year, year and a half. And they don't come in every day. Maybe they come in one day a month, 2 days a month. And sometimes they can consider many different cases at once. prosecutor will say, okay, this time I'm going to put on an hour's worth of testimony in the Jones case, hour's worth in the Smith case. They got to keep track of it all. It can happen in a lot of different ways. But the fact is that here, it's pretty clear that Cyrus Vance is going full frontal 24/7 against Trump. And I think that's the entire focus of this grand jury right now. So those are the developments. Those are the developments. They have his top lawyer and they have his number two accountant after the CFO. And the CFO, even though he's the number one accountant, doesn't do a lot of the grunt work. He supervises the grunt work. But Jeff McConney is the controller and a vice president, a senior vice president, knows a lot more about the grunt work than a lot of people, anybody else except Alan Weisselberg. So there you have it. It's June. We're talking about November. Cyrus Vance is going to have a successor elected. No matter who it is, they're not going to be as experienced as he is. I'm sure they're good people. Primary is in 2 weeks. Stand by for that prosecution. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.